Well, what a beautiful day this is. And it is not only a great joy to have Father Troy sitting in the chair of the celebrant, but to have Father Parker, who was ordained a priest 2 weeks ago, here as well, and Father Arpe, who was ordained about 2 years ago. This has been such a wonderful week. On Wednesday, Father Terry celebrated his 25th anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood, and so we had a lovely mass and a celebration afterwards. And then there was Friday night. Friday night, what an amazing night that was, and I know many of you were able to be there at the cathedral as we celebrated and witnessed the ordination of Father Troy Nguyen to the priesthood. But you know, for me, all of this sort of started last Sunday. Last Sunday was kind of like a NASA liftoff, because Father Troy gave this amazing homily when he was still Deacon Troy, when he was doing the countdown, 6 days left until his ordination, 7 days until he would celebrate his first Mass. And this homily was so passionate. It was filled with such a sense of purpose. And he helped all of us to see more deeply what it means to say that Jesus, body, blood, and soul, and divinity is present on the altar. It was quintessential preaching from this wonderful young man whom we have come to love and admire, who over the last couple of years has shown us Jesus and has helped us to understand more fully what it is to be members of his church. Now, I've never had a homily of mine viewed more than 6,000 times. Not that I count every week, but that homily from last week, as of today, and again, I don't do this all the time, had 6,100 views. And that says something. It says something about the clarity with which Father Troy preached last Sunday. It says something about what we were entering into this week, where there is just this sense of us being swept up in the most remarkable gift, which is the gift of a life given fully to God as he chooses to be ordained. And I could not think of a more apt first reading for today. When I saw these readings a couple of weeks ago for the first time, I phoned Father Troy and said, you won't imagine what the first reading is. It's from 1 Kings, and it's about Elijah and Elisha. And so I've had a chance to think about this reading. It's amazing how it ties into today. Think about what happened. Elijah is called by the Lord to go to Elisha and to anoint him and to give his mantle to him. So what does the mantle represent? It's the clothing of Elijah's prophetic office. What happened to Father Troy on Friday? It was one of the highlights for me when he was vested in the diocesan chasuble by Father Cristino, our vocations director. And I just know the relationship these two men have with one another. And as Father Cristino vested Father Troy in the chasuble of the diocese, there was this incredible embrace that they shared together. So why is it that us priests dressed so funny? And this is the reason why. Because when we are here, we are not representing ourselves. We are representing Jesus Christ. And if you were to read in the Old Testament, you would read that the priest Aaron, his sons, and those who would become priests after also dressed like this. So this kind of clothing, like, it never goes out of style. And the beautiful thing is that Aaron and the Old Testament priests dressed like this when they were offering the sacrifice on the altar in Jerusalem. We dress like this because we offer the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. And that sacrifice that happened 2,000 years ago is now extended through time. And so this is a beautiful chasuble representative of the mantle of the priesthood that Father Troy has been welcomed into. But notice as well that Elijah was to anoint Elisha. And what happened on Friday? At the very end of the ordination rite, Father Troy knelt before Bishop McGrattan and had the oil of chrism poured into his hands. If you've ever smelled the oil of chrism, it has a beautiful, sweet scent. It's the same oil that Aaron, as a priest, would have had poured on his head when he was ordained. And so again, this continuity from the Old Testament priesthood to the New Testament priesthood. It's the perfume that's been around longer than any other. And the beautiful thing about this gift that we have been given is that for Father Troy, he took 16 years to discern this vocation. And this is the last connection with our passage from Elisha. I love how it ends, that Elisha, who would have been a wealthy man, if he had 12 yoked oxen, that means he's got 24 of them. In that culture, that represents a man of great wealth, position, and influence. But we're told with the 12th yoked oxen, he slaughters them. And he takes the wood to make the fire so that the oxen can then be cooked and given to the people. Father Troy, this is what you have done. For the last 16 years, as you have been discerning, you have been going through your life, and everything that you have acquired, everything that you have come to know, like Elisha, you have now offered it. And all that you are is going to be used to feed the people of God. And so we think of these hands, the hands of priests, and this is what Father Troy spoke of so beautifully last Sunday, about how his hands this weekend would for the first time hold Jesus and give Jesus to his people. Because you see, at the very heart of the priesthood is our responsibility for what I would call liturgical care, that we are responsible for the liturgy, and that that liturgy be lived and exercised in a way where Jesus is honored in his sacred presence in the Eucharist, where Jesus is honored in his sacred presence in the Word. But there's something else I want to talk about this morning that for all priests is of such importance. It's not enough for us to be priests of liturgical care. We also have to be priests of pastoral care. For you see, it's the liturgical care that happens at the altar, and it's the pastoral care that happens when we leave the altar and we move amongst the people of God, through hearing their confessions, through doing spiritual direction, through baptizing, marrying, burying, through every way that we are given this profound privilege to enter into the lives of people that is, I think, unprecedented. On Tuesday, I was so privileged. In the morning, I got to say Mass with St. Sylvester School. I also got to do a funeral of a woman who was 82 years old. And then in the afternoon, I got to do spiritual direction with people where they shared with me their heart. Who else gets to do this kind of work where the whole realm of people's experiences is brought forward? But in order for us to do the work of pastoral care, we have to hold in our hands another instrument. Not now, the body and blood of Christ, not the chalice, not the paten, but the instrument of the master sculptor's chisel. And let me explain what I mean. Back in the year 1501, the great sculptor Michelangelo did something remarkable. No one wanted the giant. What was the giant? The giant was a huge slab of marble, which for over 100 years, different sculptors had tried to cut into it, try to create something from it, to no avail. And so the giant was in a yard where the summer heat, the rain, the wind, the cold beat down on it. But then on the 13th of September, in the year 1501, at the age of 26, Michelangelo said, "I can do something with that slab." And do you know what he did? From this piece of marble that no one could master, in 2.5 years, working day and night, he created this. His David, one of the most famous statues ever created. And listen to what he said of this creation. He said, "The sculpture is already complete within the marble block before I start my work. It is already there. I just have to chisel away the superfluous material." Well, that's quite a chiseling away of the superfluous material, isn't it? And this is the connection. Priests are to do pastoral care with the same kind of intentionality with which Michelangelo did that. And this is what I mean. For you see, Jesus Christ is the master sculptor. And we as priests are, so to speak, to hold his chisel in our hands. Because what God wants for us to discover is, although this is beautiful, maybe within 500, 1,000 years, it will be gone. It won't last forever. But you will. And what God is creating in you is even greater than that. Now, I don't think I'll ever have that physique, but in heaven, I hope to have an understanding of what it is to have been made a saint, to have been made glorious and perfect. And the same is true for all of you. But Father Troy, dear brothers, one of the things we have to recognize are the kind of attributes that as priests we have to bring to this work of being sculptors. You can take that down now. It might be a little distracting. And so there are these three attributes that are of such importance: the attribute of perspective, the attribute of patience, and the attribute of perseverance. Perspective, patience, and perseverance. What's perspective? It's a point of view. One of the things I love to do is hike, and one of my easiest and hikes I enjoy the most is going up Tunnel Mountain. Because when you get up to the top of Tunnel Mountain, you get a perspective on the town site and the surrounding mountains that you can't have if you're walking down Banff Avenue. And one of the things priests have to have, we have to have a perspective. We have to be able to get above the hurly-burly, and that happens through prayer. That happens through our understanding that all of us are slabs of marble who are being chipped away at day by day. But here's the thing about life that's so hard. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel more like a marble slab than I feel like David. But the part of our life that we need to realize that we all struggle with is what St. Paul in our reading from Galatians said, is walking according to the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh is that kind of orientation that so weighs us down that all we think about is this earthly life, that there is nothing else. All we think about is the way in which we are kind of preoccupied with ourselves. Listen to how St. Paul put it. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Now, I take great comfort from the fact that James and John also struggled with the works of the flesh. In our gospel reading today, it's kind of peculiar, unless you know the context. They're going through Samaria, and they stop in a Samaritan town that's not going to receive Jesus. And so James and John say to Jesus, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven and let them have it?" Now, why would they say such a thing? Well, for two reasons. The Jewish people and the Samaritans hated one another. You see, the Jewish people couldn't see the David in the Samaritans, and the Samaritans couldn't see the David in the Jews. And then there was something else, a contemporary story where a group of Jewish people had gone through Samaria to go to Jerusalem, and the Samaritans had killed them. So it's understandable, isn't it, that James and John want to get revenge? Isn't that the works of the flesh? Where we don't see the work of God in the other, all we see is one that should get it. And how does that happen in our lives? Maybe not to the degree that the Samaritans and the Jews experienced. But can we not, by our words and actions, devour one another with sarcasm, with a tirade of anger, with gossip, slander? And what I think is even worse than this is how we can devour ourselves by a kind of self-hatred. Or if not a self-hatred, I think a lot of us have this problem. We compare the slab that I am with the slab that someone else is. And we sometimes think, boy, that person just has it so much better. If I was that slab, it would be much easier to make something good out of me. And this is something that I'm learning after 58 years. Every single person here has to come to the point of accepting that your life is the only life you have. My life is the only life I have. And the only life that the master sculptor has to work with is the life that is your life. And part of being a priest is to have the perspective to help people to see that although it's true that the works of the flesh are for real and they affect us, when we come to cultivate the second attribute, which is patience, we discover something else, that God's Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And God's Holy Spirit is wanting to work on our lives in such a way that we are to allow the sculptor's chisel, and do you know what the chisel is? It's love. That we're allowing love day by day to chip away everything that is superfluous so that the masterpiece that is within can be freed. I want you to know each one of you is a David in the making. Please remember this. And because you're a David in the making, it affects the way we live with one another. It's so beautiful how Paul puts it in Galatians. He says, don't be tied to the yoke of slavery. That is, don't be a slave to the works of the flesh. But listen to what he then goes on to say. Become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that beautiful? We're to be slaves to one another. You know how much I love you. And one of the things I love about St. Peter's is you show this. This is a community where we're learning to be slaves of one another. Think of this last week. Think of that beautiful CWL reception at the St. Mary's Hall on Saturday. Think of the women who came to put together these beautiful flowers. Think of the women who yesterday, after Father Troy's first mass, put on the reception downstairs. Think of the men who are outside right now making us lunch. This is all an expression of what it is to be slaves of one another. And we need to learn this in our families. We need to understand that no one person in the family is there to serve the other, but all are there to serve in turn. And you know, when kids come and make their confession, almost without exception, they say, "Forgive me, Father, for I have not listened to my parents." And I know what that's all about. That's about, oh, so you didn't do your chores, right? And they say, "Yeah, I didn't." And here's the point. They need to learn as 8, 9, 10-year-olds. I need to know as a 58-year-old that it's as we learn to serve one another in love that then the master's chisel is able to create not only individuals that are a reflection of the beauty of that David, but a parish. Because there are two ways the body of Christ is present, on the altar and right out here. You are the body of Christ. And that brings me to my third and final point, that if priests are called to have a perspective, if they are called to be patient, they also need to persevere. Because one of the hardest things for every single one of us in life is to put Jesus Christ first. And what a priest is called to do year in, year out, decade after decade of your priesthood, is to say Jesus has to come first. He is always first. Because you see, if we put even good things like where we're going to live, making sure that our parents have a rightful burial, or making sure that we say goodbye to our family, if our family, which is very good, if the honoring of our parents, which is very good, or where we're going to live is very good, if they get out in front of Jesus, we're going to lose our way. But when Jesus is first, then everything else that is good and beautiful in our lives can follow after. So let me conclude with a word to parents. If it's the call of a priest to have perspective, to have patience, and to persevere, this is also true for all of you who are parents. Be your children 2, 5, 10, 22, 35, 48. I know, because I hear this from so many parents of adult children, that to parent adult children is perhaps much harder than parenting little children. Because they're adults and they're free. But out of love, desiring for them to know fully who they are and who they can become, like Michelangelo, never tire of being an instrument that Jesus Christ can use. Because we are a people who are being made into the image, well, the image of David. And so, dear brother priests, as you begin your priesthoods, understand what your hands are for and whose you are and how he is to use you.